Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
And thank you, Angela, too. I mean, as she said, the holidays seem to be accelerating towards us. I don't know about you, but I think we're also focused on the election, that we were doing that, and all of a sudden the election was over, people went through their stuff, and wham, it's here. You know, everything's just accelerating. Christmas showing up in just a few weeks, too. I always feel like I've got a split personality during this time of the year. On the one hand, I love having the time off, which is nice, and I like the food and the presents and the opportunity to spend time with some friends that I haven't seen in a while. But I have to be honest, there's a part of me that doesn't like all the craziness and the busyness. I mean, I like the shopping, but I don't like parking before the shopping, you know, that kind of stuff. So, now I don't mind doing a lot of the stuff, the food and the presents and that kind of stuff. I just hate to have to do them during a specific time frame. That's kind of what gets to me. But whenever I get that way, when I get in my little Christmas curmudgeon or holiday curmudgeon mentality, whatever, which usually happens when I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by traffic or stuff I have to do, I have found that the best thing for me to do is to stop, take a deep breath, as Angela said, and focus on being grateful. And when I say being grateful, I mean being grateful for all the people in my life, grateful for the opportunities all around me to enjoy life, of which there are many, and even grateful for my ability to choose to be grateful. That's something to be grateful for. Now, sometimes that takes a little extra effort to get my mind moving in that direction, especially if the direction it was going in before was kind of a whiny, negative, look at all the stuff I have to do kind of a direction. You know, you ever get in that kind of mentality? I think we all do. But now that I have practiced it enough, because I've been working on this for years, it usually doesn't take too long before my whole attitude turns around. Because the truth is, and it's perfectly obvious, if I just take a few seconds to remind myself, the truth is there is so much in my life and in the world to be grateful for. I think we could all say that. I mean, it is absolutely everywhere. And all I have to do is to pay attention to it, just recognize that it's there, that's all, and I immediately feel better. It works every single time. I mean, someone once made the statement, I love this, he or she said, we have all been given the gift of 86,400 seconds today. You'd think we could use at least two or three of them to say thank you, which is a great statement. So I try to do that as much as I can. The title of my talk today, in honor of Thanksgiving, I do this every year, is Count Your Blessings. And that's a phrase we've all heard. Some of you may also remember it was an Irving Berlin song back in the 1950s. Anybody remember that? It was Bing Crosby sang it in a movie. Anybody know what the movie was? White Christmas. We got a couple of you who knew that. And the first two lines of the song are, when I am worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. Which is catchy, kind of an Irving Berlin kind of a thing. But I actually think that's a pretty good idea even when we're not worried and we can sleep. Okay, if we would just spend 10 minutes every night, 5 minutes, you know, the length of a normal set of commercials in a TV show, just that length of time, 5 minutes every single night, practicing, that's why they call it spiritual practice, practicing a clear, definite, intentional focus on being grateful for everything in our life. That's important today. For every single thing in our life, near or far, old or new, recent, not so recent, good or bad. That's the hard part. Even with the tough stuff, it would make a tremendous difference. You know, what if we practice looking at how every little thing in our life positively impacted our life? And instead of being angry at stuff that happened or about what might happen, afraid of what might happen, we imagined all the good things that could come on, that could come forward. You see, that's the kind of consciousness that we need to adopt, because we really aren't grateful enough in this country. You can look at the election, you know. People may have been angry or happy about the result, but people weren't being grateful for being able to vote or to have the freedom and those kind of things. That's a focus we're talking about. Now, I don't think we're not grateful for what we have, though some people are, I think it's because we don't consciously think about all the things we should be grateful for, which isn't surprising when you think about what happens to us over the course of the day. Most of the time we are so busy, we only say thank you or think about being grateful for the things that are exceptionally good. Okay, for the things that are above and beyond the ordinary. But all the other little stuff that is also wonderful, we don't think about. Here's a story. It's one of my favorite gratitude stories. Some of you may have heard it. I think I told it years ago, but I haven't in a while. And it's a story about a Jewish grandmother. Okay? And I'm not picking on Jewish grandmothers. My Catholic mother is a Jewish grandmother in her own way. Okay? And, excuse me. The Jewish grandmother and her three-year-old son were at the beach. And the boy was playing at the edge of the water, digging in the sand with his little plastic bucket, and Grandma was standing 20, 30 feet back so she wouldn't get her feet wet, her arms crossed, watching the kid. And all of a sudden, a huge wave out of nowhere comes up, washes over him, recedes back into the ocean, and the child is gone. Just gone. And the grandmother is in shock, as you might think. She's horrified. And she looks up to the sky and she screams, God, how could you do this to me? Okay, I've been a good mother and a grandmother. I've kept a kosher home. I've always kept the Sabbath. I've given money to the temple. I kept all the holy days. How could you take my grandson? And this loud voice came down from heaven and said, all right, already. And a few seconds later, another big wave comes up, washes over, recedes, and there's the boy playing on the beach with his bucket like nothing happened. And the voice says, all right, I returned your grandson. Are you happy now? And she looks up to heaven and she says, he had a hat. Now think about that for a minute. Okay? Now, there's a man by the name of Aldous Huxley, who was a great American philosopher about 100 years ago, a little less than that. He once said, most human beings have an almost infinite capacity for taking things for granted. Really, very, very true. Something that we frequently forget, okay, is that we not only live in, we are immersed in, okay, we are an integral part of, get this, an exciting, interesting, constantly changing, constantly expanding, abundant universe of infinite possibility every moment of every day. Every moment of every day. And that's pretty amazing when you stop and think about it. But what's even more amazing is the fact that people don't think about it at all. Let me use an example. Let's say, how do we express gratitude when we're at work? I know some of you are retired. A lot of you are still working, and I'm sure you love your jobs. I mean, it's fairly normal for us to be grateful when we get our paycheck or when the boss recognizes us for being the employee of the week or he or she congratulates us in front of all our coworkers. But on the days when everything's falling apart, when the customers are yelling, when the computers aren't working, when everybody's cranky, your boss is cranky, most of us don't go home thinking about how happy we're going to be to get up and go to work the next morning, right? We don't, okay? Now, those are the extreme cases. Good days we're grateful, bad days we're not. Everybody sees that as being pretty cut and dried. But what's really interesting to me is how on a regular, normal Wednesday, Tuesday, middle of a normal week, with nothing going on, we don't even think about being grateful. Even though this job provides us so much of our livelihood and all those other things. Now, it's not that we're not grateful. Our mind is just focused on other things. Now, we do the same thing with our relationships, right? You're in a relationship with somebody that you truly, truly adore, but sometimes you're just so grateful for them. Other times, you're kind of banging heads. But 90% of the time in between, you don't even think about being grateful, all right? Even though we continually hear, in this teaching at least, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, our human side tends to look at the normal everyday stuff as just the way things are. We're not grateful, we're not ungrateful, okay? If something happens the same way every day for a certain length of time, we tend to stop thinking about being grateful for it and see it as the status quo. So as a result, we save our gift of appreciation for those one-time good deals that happen every so often. Now, What we are doing when we do this, when we fail to consciously be grateful for what is in the moment, we are giving our power away to the world outside of us. We don't think of it that way, but in terms of this teaching, that's what we're doing. Because the ability we have to consciously feel grateful is a creative power. And it's one of the greatest gifts that we can give to ourselves or to anyone else. I mean, you know how good it feels when you tell someone that you appreciate them? That's a good feeling, right? It feels good when they tell you they appreciate you. But if we only allow ourselves to feel that way when certain things happen, then we're allowing our feelings to be controlled by the things that are happening in the world outside of us. Because gratitude needs to be internally generated. We have an infinite ability to express gratitude, but it's got to come from in here. So if we can get clear that we can consciously choose to be grateful for anything in our life, what happens is something really amazing, almost magical, as Angela was talking about. We will start bringing into our life more of the experiences that we're grateful for, because gratitude is an attractive power. Not attractive in terms of good looking, attractive in terms of actually attracting, okay? Now, here's another way to think about it. When was the last time, Angela mentioned before the treatment to take a few breaths to calm yourself down. When was the last time that you, be honest, really were consciously grateful for being able to take a deep breath? Recently? Anybody? How about being grateful for having a heart that beats about 70 times a minute, every single minute of every day, ever since you were born? How many people have thought about being grateful for that? Some of you have. That's great. Some of you have heard me say this before, so you've really gotten into it, okay? Now, that may sound silly to some people, but our failure to think about these things, at least occasionally, is something that I like to call spiritual complacency. It's spiritual complacency, because what we're doing is we are taking the gift of life for granted. We're taking it for granted. I mean, if you think it sounds silly to consciously be grateful for your heart beating or your breath, you know, breathing in and out, talk to somebody who has bad asthma or who has had a serious heart attack. I promise you that they are grateful for being able to do those things every single day. But the interesting thing is people who are grateful for their health find more things in their life to be able to express their health in. Like hiking, that kind of thing. I know people that are not grateful for their health. They don't take care of themselves. They don't create a body that allows them to hike and see the beautiful scenery that I've had the advantage of seeing, and some of you. Doesn't allow them to scuba dive. Doesn't allow them to do all these different things that they could do if they were grateful enough for their health that they actually took care of it. Now, the same thing holds true in every other part of our life. Once we start paying attention, not just to the good stuff, but once we start paying attention to the normal, everyday harmony of our life, this body works in harmony, our life can work in harmony, we notice a lot more gifts than we realize before. Now, gratitude is also a gift that we give to other people, all right? I mean, there's a reason Thanksgiving comes before Christmas, because you're grateful and then you start giving. All right, it isn't like, look, I got all these gifts, and then we'll have Thanksgiving, and we'll be grateful afterwards, okay? Because it works better with gratitude beforehand. Gratitude is a gift of unconditional openness and acceptance, because it can't be conditional. It's very hard to feel a little bit grateful. It's sort of an all or nothing. Either you are or you're not. So when showing our appreciation to somebody, we have to be authentic. You ever have somebody to say to you, oh, thanks. Doesn't impress you very much. You don't think they're grateful. So we have to be authentic about it, because people can tell when we're not being sincere. Because if we aren't authentic or we aren't real, we tend to close a door between us and the other person. But if we appreciate them for who and what they are, then they feel welcome and interact with us. There's a story, got one more gratitude story today. I love this. Years ago, and it was an old established church in a, you know, one of those ones where everybody in the church is over the age of 70, some of those, like my mother's church, I think. And, you know, everybody wore their Sunday best all the time. But the minister and the board knew that if they didn't start attracting some young people, then the church itself was going to die, which has actually happened in a lot of the large cities. So this was before Facebook or Snapchat. This was a while back. So they started putting advertisements in the local paper and in the university paper. There was a college nearby. But for several months, no new young people showed up. And then one Sunday morning at the 11 o'clock service, all right, this is a true story. I read it in the paper years ago, or one of the magazines, and the church was sort of semi-filled with a regular crowd of older people wearing their coats and ties and their hats and all that. Just before the minister started his talk, the door opened in the back, and in walked a young man. And he had hair down to about here with a green streak in it, and he had sort of torn jeans, and he was wearing kind of a Microsoft t-shirt or something along those lines. And he had an earring in both ears, his nose, his lower lip, and God knows where else. So he's walking up down the aisle towards the front, and nobody's moving. Everybody's just looking. And so he walks, and there isn't a seat in the center aisle, so he walks up to the front, and he sits down on the floor, crosses his legs, and looks up at the minister, waiting for him to talk. So there's not a sound. Everybody's there. The minister's looking. Everybody's staring. All of a sudden, you hear this noise. It's a tap, tap, tap. And this very elderly gentleman, who had been a deacon of the church for 50 years, wearing a dark blue suit, a white shirt, and a red tie, and a cane. And he was walking up from the back. And that was the only noise in the place. Well, he got to where the young man was, and he looked at him. And then he smiled, and he lowered himself to the floor, and with great effort, he crossed his legs and looked up at the minister and waited for the service to start, which it did. So when the service was over, the young man thanked the minister, a few people shook his hands, and he left. And some of the other elderly people who had been there for many years came to him and said, "What do you think you were doing? We don't do that here." And you know where this is going. He said to them, "I just wanted him to know that we were happy that he was here. That's all I really wanted." And not long afterwards, a few young people showed up, then more and more. And now they have a whole young ministry and all this other stuff going on. This was a traditional Christian church. All right? That's what real gratitude can do. It completely transforms the relationship, not between just between us and another person, but the entire situation. The entire situation. All right? It becomes a powerful expression of our faith in the goodness of life and the goodness of other people. And when other people express gratitude to us, it allows us both to feel connected, because gratitude allows the God in me to see the God in you. That's what namaste means, all right? It also helps us to feel more balanced, all right? Because it has the power to make difficult situations even out a little bit. If everybody comes into the situation grateful for one another, everybody gets along just a little bit better, because it helps us see the underlying truth, which is the presence of God. It helps us to see peace where other people see conflict. It helps us to see optimism where other people see pessimism. It helps us to see hope where other people see despair. All these other things. It completely transforms from one to the other. Now, sometimes it can be a chore to feel grateful when we're going through a difficult time, when something's happening, when one of our parents is sick, or our child, or we get laid off from work or something else. But that's because we are focusing on the wrong thing. That's the only reason it's difficult, because life is usually smarter than we are. I have found that out a long time ago. What happens is we try to direct the universe to provide the things for us that we think we want in the way that we think we want them. And then when it doesn't happen the way we think it should, or something does happen, we aren't grateful. Okay? We do our mental and spiritual work, focusing on a better job, or a more loving relationship, or greater prosperity, and then we start getting resentful because it didn't happen the way we thought it would happen. I look back in my own life, and what I realize is, once the transition period is over, once I've found the new job, which I always do if I do my mental and spiritual work right, or the relationship is healed, or I find a relationship, when the money shows up, if I look back, in retrospect, I can see that the unpleasant or the uncomfortable stuff that I went through, you know, like when you're kissing a lot of frogs before you get the relationship, that kind of thing, or when you have some financial issues before you finally create the prosperity, that difficult period, I recognize that that was not only necessary for me to evolve and for the thing to happen, it was exactly what I needed to go through in order to grow. It was part of the creative process. Afterwards, I can see that, but I need to learn how to be grateful for it in the moment, even when it doesn't seem like something that I should be grateful for. Now, here's a secret. I learned it years ago when I was first getting into this. If we practice being grateful when things are going well in our life, which is when we usually don't think about it, you know, if we practice being grateful when things are going well, if we practice what Emmett Fox calls an attitude of gratitude, you've heard that phrase, then it's going to be a lot easier being grateful when things are not going well. That's why we practice it beforehand. We have to remember that pain in our life doesn't necessarily mean that things are going wrong. Sometimes the pain that we feel in our life, whether it's emotional pain, physical pain, whatever it is, helps us to avoid doing something that might hurt a whole lot worse. So it serves a purpose. So our willingness to be grateful for the emotional or physical or spiritual discomfort that we feel as we're creating something is a gift that allows us to feel more aware of why our relationship is the way it is, our finances are the way they are, whatever it happens to be. All right? If we have a relationship and we feel a disconnect, and that's really uncomfortable, we've all had that kind of a relationship, whether it's with a parent, a spouse, or something else, that discomfort is telling us something important. So we need to be grateful for the discomfort, because what it may be telling us is we need to communicate a little more. We need to be a little more grateful for that person and let them know that we're grateful. Just like we exercise our muscles so our body will work, we exercise gratitude so that our life works. And as it becomes more and more powerful in our life, when we start using it all the time on the little things as well as the big things, things start happening better. Better, better, better. But if we are complacent about it, then we find that our capacity to receive becomes a whole lot less. So here's what we want to do. Let me get specific. If there is some area in our life that we want to improve, okay, then we should focus our gratitude on every single aspect of that area of our life. Let me tell you what I mean. If we want more prosperity, we should express gratitude for someone taking us to dinner. That's prosperity. We should express gratitude when we are paying our bills or paying our taxes. That's hard. If we find a $5 bill in a suit coat that I haven't worn since last season and pull it out, express gratitude consciously, not just, oh, that's nice. Consciously, if you want to say thank you, God, that's fine. That's a nice little catchy mantra that I like to use. If we want better health, we need to be grateful for our body no matter what it looks like. Okay? That means not just grateful when I'm really looking good in a great suit or whatever it happens to be, but being grateful after my shower when I look in the mirror. Okay? Right? If I can't quite button the pants or button the skirt, I need to be grateful for that. Why? Because if I'm grateful for my body, no matter what condition it's in, it puts me in a place where I can start to create something better. Something better. If we want more love in our life, all right, we should extend our love to everybody and be grateful that they're around to receive it. That's what we're talking about. Every single aspect of the area we want to improve. You see, we teach here that thought is creative, and it creates after its own image. Have you heard me say that before? Thought is creative, and it creates after its own image. So that means when we pray, or when we focus our thoughts, which is what prayer is, the belief behind the prayer is what determines what shows up. Always. So if we pray thinking, get this as we close here, I want more because I don't like what I have, we're putting a negative idea into consciousness. But if we pray thinking, I am deeply grateful for all that I have and all the ways that it happened, then we're putting out a more constructive, attractive idea. So if our consciousness is focusing on how we don't have enough money or enough love or how we don't like our job and all those things, whatever it is, the universe is only going to give us more of what we're thinking about. That's the way this works. But constant gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, a constant attitude of gratitude for all of the blessings that we do have will cause more of what we're grateful for to appear in our life. That's the way the law of mind works. That's why gratitude itself is the perfect gift. Greta's talking next week about 5 gifts for the holiday. I haven't heard her talk, but I bet this is one of them. Okay? Being gratitude. All right? There's a man by the name of Alan Cohen. He wrote a number of books a while back. The Dragon Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Very good. I Had It All the Time is the one I want to quote from. He makes this statement. I love this. Write it down on your arm if you don't have paper. He says, what desire seeks, gratitude already claims. That's very profound. What desire seeks out there, gratitude already claims as ours. In other words, if we want to claim more good in our life, we need to see that good as being ours already and be grateful for it before it shows up, not after it shows up. Because if we do, before we know it, the thing we are seeking will be here. Because life is responsive to the power of our belief, and that's something we can all be grateful for, every single one of us. I am grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for the center. I'm grateful to have been involved in this teaching for 32 years now. Absolutely love it. On behalf of the Board of Trustees, the ministers and practitioners of this center, I want to wish every single one of you a happy, healthy, and safe Thanksgiving. As you are with family and friends this week, don't get sucked into people's stuff, okay? Relax. Be there. When Uncle Bob starts talking about his political views, you know, when your niece shows up drunk, whatever it happens to be, just sort of relax. Calm down. Be at peace. And be grateful that you have those people in your life because they help to make you who you are. This is the truth in your life. And this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's just take a few moments now. A lot of ideas. Everybody's hearing something different because all of us come from a different place. But let's just recognize that we have an infinite capacity for being grateful. There is no time, no place, no situation where we do not have the power to choose gratitude for something. So as I look at the world, I look at it with different eyes. I put gratitude filters over my eyes. So whenever something happens, or whenever I hear something or someone says something, I am able to think in my mind, God is present here. Where is it? All I need to do is see it. I know it's here. And as I do this, I see something wonderful. I see the opportunity in the midst of any situation for peace, kindness, respect, and love. All of those things are free. They don't cost me a penny. I have all of those things in infinite amounts within me. All I need to do is open my heart and let them out. So I do this more and more often until I am finally walking around with a heart that is so open that all these qualities are pouring out from me to anyone I'm near, every room I walk in, every place I go, every road I drive on. I am giving peace of mind, respect, kindness, love, and gratitude. I am grateful for so many things I have been given in my life. I'm grateful for my family, for my friends, for my home, my car. I'm grateful for the beautiful weather. I'm grateful for the rain that I know is going to fall soon. I'm grateful for the opportunity this holiday to remind myself that gratitude is a gift. So knowing this, I accept this idea as the firm, solid foundation of my life. I practice it this week when driving, when eating, when socializing, whatever I'm doing, I'm practicing gratitude. I tell people freely and willingly how grateful I am for them in my life. And I allow this attitude of gratitude to bring to me life multiplied abundantly. This is my truth. I accept it. I embrace it. I give thanks for it. And I release it into consciousness, knowing that it is the truth of my life from this moment on. Join me in saying, and so it is.